Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. Pastor Mark Neville has sermon topic was based on Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. Our radio broadcast this morning is sponsored by Alan and Sharon Bradyeff in honor of their 40th wedding anniversary, which is today, December 14th. We congratulate Alan and Sharon on this anniversary day. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Well, good morning and welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church on this third Sunday in Advent. Our theme will be revolving around the way and how that way or that road that we are on is not often called our lives, really have a lot to do with the future goal of that way, and now we'll know more about that in our sermon today. Our first hymn is 345, and please note that we will be standing at the last verse, 345. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives them the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will hope continually. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. O God, from my youth you have taught me. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. With you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is taken from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with the sermon hymn of the day, 346. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I've chosen today is from the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 35. It reads, And a highway will be there, a roadway. It will be called the Highway of Holiness, and the unclean will not travel on it. But it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. This is our text. In the season of Advent, I think especially we realize that Christians are forward-thinking. We're always looking for something. And of course, we could talk about eternity as something we look forward to. But even, I think now, God has given us a role to play in the kingdom right now. And do we look forward to that? Do we look forward to today and tomorrow and the opportunities that God gives us? The thing is that we're not the only ones with some sort of future in mind. The hardened world has also been coming up with scenarios and visions of the future, which are becoming more and more independent, I should say, of Christian thinking and influence. The world cries out for a new system, a new age, a new world order, because they know what's been going on in their minds hasn't been working, but they really rehash the same things over and over again. And yet, while Christians are so busy sometimes with their internal household problems, maybe even concerned about ourselves, we become preoccupied with a lot of parochial things. People like John Lennon, remember him? John Lennon wrote a song called Imagine, and it's all the rage sometimes at New Year's parties. They looking forward to the world to come, and they play Imagine, and it makes me vomit. Anyway, because it tells people to encourage people to imagine a world without religion, without God, without even the concept of heaven and hell. And that's what he wants us in the world to imagine. Our court system tells us for years that Christianity needs to be separate from our public discourse. You Christians, you can have thoughts and ideas, just don't talk about them. Sit down and be quiet. The enlightened elite claim that the real things are of a scientific nature, and we should not mix them with spiritual things. I saw a commercial this past week, maybe you did too. We believe in the miracle of science. The miracle of science. Great. All this stuff is not really new. It's all the same old thing that we've having to heard over and over again for millennia. In short, we are offered a much different view of the one that Jesus wants us to have. In the book of Acts, the early followers of Jesus were not called Christians right away. They eventually were, but initially they were called the followers of the way. The way was accused of turning the world upside down. Why? Because they did weird things like forgive their enemies. They did good to those who hated them. They talked of divine forgiveness and everlasting life, and you would think they must have had a really dynamic leader leading them this whole time. How odd that Jesus wasn't even around anymore. And when he was here, he had been born in a small town. You know how that goes. By poor parents. Without human fanfare. Grew up in another small town as a carpenter's son. Never went to college. Never held any office. Never wrote a book. Didn't do concerts. That's how you become famous, you know. You got to do a concert. Never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born and did not own much at all. He had just a few disciples, but he had powerful enemies who eventually killed him, and then he was buried in a borrowed grave. And yet all the armies in the world, all the kings, all the parliaments down through the centuries, and all the wealth that has ever been accumulated has not made as much of an impact on this one solitary life of Jesus. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life. And yet his message was also not really new. Ever since God promised to Adam and Eve the way that mattered was going to be God's way, Isaiah calls it the highway of holiness. Has a little alliteration there. I don't know how it flows in Hebrew, but it's the highway of holiness for us. Both our epistle and gospel lessons to encourage us to consider the example of people who have gone before us on that highway. James writes, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Patience comes from the Latin word patior, which means to suffer. You know, you ever pray for patience? You know what's going to happen if you do that? There might be some suffering involved, and it's okay. Jesus explains that you will be weeping and wailing in your life. You will be sorrowful. Just because? Is it fun for God to do that? No. Such things have a purpose. They take us somewhere. Every time you go through something, it's taking you somewhere. You're getting experience, you're getting practice, as it were. And so what seems like a hindrance to us becomes a way. What seems like an obstacle becomes a door. Jesus changes our history, or what we think is going to be our history, into a series of sad incidents and accidents, into constant opportunities for a change of heart. And so to wait patiently, therefore, means to allow our problems to turn into preparation. Something bigger and better in the future. Even ready to receive the joy is promised to us. It may not be the way we would do things, but it's the way that works best. So it becomes the way God does things. I recently read about a professor from Notre Dame. I think he was reminiscing on all of his years of teaching. He said, "I've always been complaining that my work was constantly being interrupted, until I slowly discovered that my interruptions were my work." Isn't that the way the parent looks back on life and looks at the raising of their children? There was a lot of interruptions, but it was part of the raising process. The Christian life is the way of holiness. It's not my way. It's God's way. And so we're going to have to expect some interruptions, maybe a whole lot of them. It's very likely that your life will not turn out exactly as you planned. Whenever some student comes and they says, "I've got my whole life planned out," and I'm thinking, oh gosh. You could do some planning. I mean, you don't have to be a totally ignorant person when it comes to planning, but just remember that when you plan, God laughs. I would probably not plan on too many instances of suffering. Let's see, this week I think I'm going to hit my thumb with a hammer as hard as I can, just so I can experience, you know, some growth. That's not what we do. I underestimate the power of the devil in this world. I know that I have a higher opinion of my own abilities and willpower than is really there. And I find I'm not alone. David wrote, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Make known to me the paths of life." Moses did not plan on leading a couple million people through the wilderness. In fact, he groveled all he could to get out of it. David did not plan on being a king of the Israelites, but God did. Not only that, but God planned a whole bunch of discipline and patience builders for these men, just like he does for you. One time I complained about some things that were happening in the ministry in my early years, and my dad was talking to us, "Well, Paul, sounds like he's preparing you for something." And I said, "What could that be?" He says, "I have no idea. Maybe you'll be the head of St. Paul's. I don't know." He didn't say that. But it kind of fits. We think we are preparing for our Lord's final advent. We think that's what we're here for, right? We're preparing for the advent of the King. Really, God is preparing you. Here in Isaiah 35, the prophet speaks of how God will prepare Zion for a much happier future. The unclean will not travel on that highway of holiness, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander it, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. It makes me kind of wonder sometimes, am I able to walk on that highway? It's a highway of holiness, and I'm not very holy until God makes me holy. You're not holy. You don't belong on that highway until God puts you on that highway. Done any really stupid things in your life? You don't have to raise your hands. Sometimes, you know, we have these radios in our vehicles that can distract us and play banal Christmas music at this time of year. I do not want to hear Santa Baby ever again. Let's turn that off, especially if you're by yourself. And what happens is pretty soon you start thinking about the stupid things you did in your life. And it's not a lot of fun, and sometimes it takes a long time. And the devil will accuse you the whole time. This is who you are. This is what you've done. You're not worthy to be on that highway of holiness. And it's okay to think about those things, but also to repent of them and realize, now God's taken care of all of that. And what a blessing that that is. The Lord has ransomed you back, put you into his plan of salvation. And that plan of salvation is called the highway of holiness. Paul writes, thanks be to God, he gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only lets me see what is the right way, but he enables me to change so that I don't have to repeat my stupidity as much. That's not to say that there still won't be unclean and foolish people around us. There are going to be times when people will chafe at God's way. There will always be easier paths, that's for sure, but they don't produce any real benefits for the future. What is the right way? Years ago when my brother was in Russia, he had people wanting to go through confirmation class. They didn't really say confirmation class. Someone came to his door and said, could you tell me about Jesus? Well, at first he said no, and his wife looked at him, what's the matter with you? You're a missionary. And he says, well, I don't know my Russian that well yet. And he says, I don't think that matters. The next week she came, knocked on his door again, and says, are you ready now? And he says, yeah, let's do it. So they had 12 people, adult confirmants, 12 people. Well, it's Moscow, there's a million people there, more and more. And he said he struggled with getting them to really even engage much until he started with the Ten Commandments. And his group went from 12 to 65. Eventually from 65 to 120. He confirmed 120 people in 1 year. He's better than me. 120. And I said, how come the Ten Commandments? He says, because before people need to know what to repent of, they have to know what the rules are. I think that's why Luther put the Ten Commandments at the beginning of the catechism. I have a daughter who is working on a lady who is a lesbian. And this lady wants to know about Jesus. Never heard of, had anybody tell her about Jesus. And so Esther says, well, now what do I do, Dad? She says, well, you tell her about Jesus. How do I do that? And so, you know, she starts working through the book of Mark because it's the Reader Digest version of the Gospels. It's the shortest one. And she was struggling through that. And so I talked to my brother about this. And he says, how about we start with the Ten Commandments? And I said, yeah, but there's that sixth one. And I says, that's okay. She needs to know the rules. And either she will or she won't repent of them. And so that's what we're going to do. Starting next month, we're going to sit down and do some Zoom Bible studies. And this, I have a four-year-old grandson who knows more Bible studies and stories than she does, this woman. But that's okay. She has come, knocked on the door, and asked for help. And that's what we're going to do. We want her on the highway of holiness, you see. The world's idea of Christmas usually ends on December 24th, even before Christmas happens. Then they're going to have to look for the next party. That's what the world does. They don't know any better. And the next party is going to be, of course, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, great. And then what? A couple football games, great. And then what? Well, there's Valentine's Day and Mardi Gras and whatever other party is out there. Is that life? Is that the way that people expect is going to just be the rest of their life? Do you expect more from life than just the next award, the next vacation, the next party? That's all the world has, you see. In our gospel lesson today, John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends some of his followers to ask Jesus what they should expect. Is Jesus the Messiah or not? I kind of think that John already knew, but he wanted his disciples to learn something in the process. Okay? The delegation is sent back to John to report the miracles and the teachings of Jesus. Just a yes or no, you see, would not work. Yeah, I am. That wouldn't be it. That wouldn't be helpful. But he says, look at what Jesus does. Look at his actions. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. And blessed is the man who does not fall away on my account. What does a Christian expect? What do you expect on the highway of holiness, which is your life? We come to experience the way in which God takes care of both our physical and spiritual needs. And blessed is the man who can give up his own way and let God's will be done. John the Baptist would have his head removed by Herod pretty soon. Not the way John would have planned it, nor would you or I planned it that way. But that's the way Jesus wanted it. Jesus would be crucified on the cross for our sins. Again, not even the way Jesus wanted it, but he would do and let the Father's will be done. And in each case, it was the best decision. And so when it happens to you, it's also the best thing for you. Sometimes I wonder what God has in mind when he lets certain people die. Well, we all die, but sometimes some deaths are more difficult or shocking than others. And yet sometimes after looking back years later, you see that they were actually spared the grief or pain which the world would have brought to them in any particular situation. And God took them before they could experience it. Or perhaps we could see that the temptations of the world would overcome them, and so he took them away before they fell away. Early on in my ministry, I confirmed a young boy who, I don't know why he came to confirmation class. His family wasn't involved. I think he just needed Wednesday off. And there was my church, and his mom dropped him off. And he was okay, but he was going to head off into a direction that wasn't going to be great. And I prayed, Lord, we're going to confirm this young boy, and he's going to take communion, and then what's going to happen? I'll tell you what happened. 2 weeks after his only communion he ever took, he was in a car accident and killed himself accidentally. And I did his funeral. And I thank God that he took him before his life could go anywhere else. And I hope to see the boy in heaven. What we can do is always trust in God's promises that our sadness be turned to joy. Isaiah concludes this chapter with the thought, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I've often made the observation that there's a fine line between the tears and the laughter of a small child. And sometimes you just gotta wait and see what happens, you know? You see, both things are going on at the same time. Sometimes when you meet a friend, you already know that you're gonna have to leave that friend again. And there's joy and sadness commingled. You come to the same place, which makes a rather complex emotion sometimes. Christians prepare for the human birth of Jesus, knowing full well that he will grow up to be a man and give himself up to death on a cross and then be raised from death to a new life. Every bit of our lives, we are concerned in one way or another with our own death. And that's not very joyful unless we can point to the limits of our earthly existence. We have not been promised a free life, a life free of sorrow, but one in which joy will have the last word. Because that's the way God planned it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Let us rise for the confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are the source of all joy. Even the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad at your appearance. Sustain us in the time of waiting for your will to be done and your purpose to unfold in these latter days. Give us patience under trials and hope that endures the changes and chances of this mortal life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have instituted the home to be the refuge for husbands and wives and a place of growth and safety. Today we rejoice with Alan and Sharon Brahiff as they celebrate wedding anniversary. And we ask you to look with favor upon them and all the homes of our land. Grant that the faith might be delivered from one generation to the next in these homes. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, the prophet Isaiah looked for the day when the blind eyes would see, deaf ears would hear, and lame legs would leap, and mute tongues would sing. Until the final day of restoration, however, draw near to all who have requested our prayers. Today we especially think of those in our hearts and minds, for Stanley and Evelyn and Nolan, Bryce, Jason, Brandy, Every, Jeff, Debbie, Pastor Hagen, Marion, Diane, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Brooke, Archie, and Terry, and Elliot. Give them the healing according to your gracious will, and bind up those who grieve that they may look for the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for calling Randy Brandt and Bill Hughes to the knowledge of your dear Son, keeping them in the true faith and granting them both a blessed end. We ask you today to help us by your Holy Spirit rightly to know and repent of our sins so that we are strengthened in our faith in Christ, that in all things we may grow up into him who is our head, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O God, your love invites us to rejoice in your goodness. In every circumstance in life, teach us the joy that comes from knowing your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and eagerly expecting his gracious visitation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the gathering of our offering. We rise for our offertory and the Lord's Prayer. Pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.